Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I'm Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket event leading up to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. We also encourage you to visit our YouTube page at Bassmaster Radio for video versions of interviews with select guests. That's YouTube.com/Bassmaster Radio. Well, the Bassmaster Pro circuits are up and running, and it began with the St. Croix Bassmaster Southern Open on the Kissimmee Chain last week. I was there, I fished, and to be honest, I did not fare too well, but I drew a couple of great guys in T. Roy Broussard, yes, that guy from Swamp People, but he's a tremendous fisherman as well, and maybe the toughest pro out there, and Charlie Hartley, a 10-year vet of the elites and a guy I actually fished with in the past, who now winners in Kissimmee and is without a doubt the most passionate fisherman I have ever met in my life. He's fished over 900 days in a row and had a solid 16th place finish at Kissimmee. Both of those guys are coming up today, plus the guy who won the tournament, also a tremendous guy and fisherman, my neighbor of sorts, Brandon Lester, who is in the Rapala Winner Circle segment. The AFCO Elite at the St. John's got off to a rip-roaring start as well, and hopefully you're watching all of that on FS1 this weekend, and we'll have full coverage of it next week as well.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and, well, as I said in the open, I mean, I didn't catch any fish. I mean, I caught a fish each day, a keeper each day at the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at the Kissimmee Chain. But I love the Kissimmee Chain. And I had two of the most fun draws that you could possibly have. And later on, we'll talk to Charlie Hartley, who I drew on day two. And it was actually the second time that I fished with Charlie Hartley in a tournament. But day one, I drew T. Roy Broussard. And if you're saying, wait a minute, T. Roy Broussard, I know that guy from the Swamp People. Yeah, it's that guy, but he's also a hell of a fisherman. And he's making a run at getting on the Elite Tour. He's fished only about 15 tournaments so far with Bass, had some injuries and so on, but he's had some pretty good results already. And he joins us now. T. Roy, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing great, buddy. I'm down here in the state of Texas. It's Sam Rayburn, and we're dodging icicles and getting ready to start a tournament over here. And you know, back home on a few fish, life is good, my man.
Yeah, no, it is good. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we didn't catch a pile of fish, but we sure had a hell of a good time, you know. And I think that's part of the deal. If you're going to be in a boat with a guy for 8 hours, you never know what you're going to get. You know, what kind of dude you're going to get, whether you're a pro or a co-angler. But we kind of hit it off right off the bat and got along great. I thought we had a great time.
Yes, sir. I had a ball, you know, and – you know, I guess we kind of go a little further in history back on our little Twitter deal. I didn't know who you were, and I was like, oh, here we go again. Then come to find out, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had a good time. You know, it was kind of one of those deals where I knew there were some fish, but there wasn't any good fish. And you know, I knew it was an afternoon deal, and I told you, I mean, we probably going to catch that until noon. But, you know, it was – that's just the way it goes. You know, sometimes you catch them, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, I finally figured out what that was about when you and I had that little back and forth on Twitter, and it was Tim McGraw. It was over Tim McGraw, who I'm a little defensive because he was a neighbor of mine. I used to live in Franklin, Tennessee, and they lived up the road, Tim and Faye, for me. And so we were kind of going back and forth on his thoughts on gun control, because it was funny that 1883 he's running around shooting people, and he's a gun control guy a little bit. But I'll say this. I'll save everybody the time. I'm a huge, huge fan of Yellowstone. I think Yellowstone is great.
Yeah.
I think Rip Wheeler's.
Oh, man. I wish I'd have been back. I wish I lived up there.
Oh, man. I tell you what. That's one of the best shows going. But 1883, I watched one episode and half of another. I was so excited for it. I just stopped watching it. It's like it's boring. It's slow. That one I don't recommend. But Yellowstone, man, for those of you that haven't watched it.
Yellowstone.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's you know, the Dutton family. They're pretty awesome. I tell you, if I didn't live in a swamp, I'd want to live in Montana. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, you'd think it was cold, you know, during practice at the Open. You know, all you got to do is go up to live up there, Montana, Wyoming, up in that neck of the woods. I don't know. I got out of there. I got out of the north as quickly as I could and got south, and I don't even go back to visit. So you know, that's just the way that thing rolls. But speaking of TV, of course, you had your run on the Swamp People. Just talk about that a little bit, and that comes about. You're still a gator hunter, you know, by trade. You guide for gator hunting and things like that. But you go from the TV to making a run at becoming a professional angler.
Yeah, Swamp People is – I was Swamp People before Swamp People were cool.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this longer than most people. You know, we started in 1984 in Texas. I was actually – 13 years old when I started alligator hunting. I'll be 52 this year. So I've been doing this a long time. And Swamp People called me. You know, they got my name. I was the largest private tag holder in Texas at the time. And they wanted me on the show for season 3. And I can't give up what I'm doing here for that. And I really didn't. I'm not one to really. Of course, you probably know from fishing, I don't ever talk about it. That's really not who I am. But you know, it didn't work out the first year. Well, they come back for season 4. They're like, we got to have you. We want to get you in Louisiana hunting over here with Troy Landry and them, and then you go back and do your deal. So I said, okay, you know, sounds good. Did that, did this. Come back for another second year. And, you know, all in all, it was great. But TV, you know, is a whole different thing. It's not about doing what you know how to do. They're wanting to make a television show.
Yeah.
And when you do what I do for a living, the TV aspect of it costs you money, both in your loss, your hunts, also the time that you spend, your equipment. Every day that I crank my boat, it's about $400 or $500 just to crank that boat up and get out there to go far.
Yeah.
So the longer it takes you to finish, the more money it costs. But, you know, it was a good experience. It opened up a lot of channels to meet some interesting people in my life, and I'm really fortunate for that. But, you know, I've always fished. I grew up on Rayburn, Toledo, and the Sabine River, of course, is where I live. And, you know, I watched Todd Fairclough win a tournament down in the very first tournament. My backyard. You know, I had some people say, man, you know, you ought to be doing this too. I'm like, man, there ain't no way. And so the very first tournament I entered, the Bass Open at Amistad, I come in 10th. I made a top 10 my very first tournament. Mm. I left there and I fished the FLW, come in 7th. And, you know, at that point I got really fired up. And that same year, I came really close to qualifying for the Elite. So I qualified for the FLW Tour. I fished the FLW Tour a couple of years. I damn near won the Sabine Tournament, Sabine River Tournament in 2017, the Open. Lost by 11 ounces, had 12 ounces of penalties. But, you know, you got all these excuses, but there's no excuse. You just got to – if you can't perform flawlessly, then you don't belong there. Whenever you do get to that level, it'll come whenever it happens.
Yeah, and, you know, and you're a guy, T. Roy Broussard with us here, you're a guy that, you know, I've been in a boat with a lot of pros, and I see it's there. The talent is there. The instincts are there. You've been out there, like you say, all your life, really, whether it's hunting a gator or hunting a bass, you've been out there all your life, so you kind of got that instinct, you know, to get this done. So I think that you have an excellent opportunity to have success with it. But what gets you more jacked up? I mean, like, say, a 7 or 8 pound bass or a 10-pound gator. You know what I mean? I've seen you and Bigfoot get all excited over them gators. What gets you more excited?
I got to be honest with you. Bass fishing gets me more excited. Alligator hunting is nothing but raw, pure bone jarring work. I mean, my body, I've had two hip replacements. I've had a neck fusion. I mean, I've had four hand surgeries, and that's all attributed to what I do in September. And you know, it's what it is. It's who I am. And anybody that's been doing this as long as I have, they're going to be stoved up. But you know, to answer your question, I still get excited when I catch a 3-pounder. And today, I mean, I caught some good fish today, and I got excited because it's been horrible. This practice was more horrible than Florida, and today kind of figured something out. So I was excited. I caught a 3 and a 4 today, and I got real excited. And I felt like a kid again.
Yeah.
Alligator hunting, when I see a big one, I get kind of in a depressed state, because then I got to come up, put them in the boat. I'm not as young as I was. I'll be 52 this year, and I can't quite grab and throw 600-700-pound gators in the boat like I used to. I got to kind of strain a little bit now. So it's Father Time is catching up with me. That's why I like fishing so much.
Yeah, and you could do this a lot longer than you did that. In our last minute, do you feel like in your game, since your fishing has been in the southernmost part of the country, but do you feel okay going north? Because you know how this is. I mean, you're going to dance with the big boys. At some point in time, you're going to end up north. You've done that already. But do you feel good when you have to make those northern swings?
Yeah, I tell you, I really love, like, Wisconsin. La Crosse reminds me so much of the aquatic vegetation, Lake Champlain. I've been to those places, and I really like them. And the thing that I've learned is you got to quit worrying about what everybody else is doing, and you got to do what you know how to do. And, you know, like, for me, I always say this, my power poles don't touch, it's too deep. And, you know, John Cox, of all people, can be the attest to that fish lives shallow 365 days a year. That guy's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I kind of have the same vision. I don't like fishing deep. I will, but I'd rather fish shallow. And, you know, even the Tennessee River chain, that would probably be my weakness, is ledge fishing. But even there, I mean, you can still find places to catch them. It's just a little bit harder.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. I'm with you on that, by the way. I always gravitate towards the bank for better or for worse. And if I'm not going to catch them, I'd rather not catch them in tight than not catch them out there. I'd rather target fish than go out there and try to find a needle in a haystack. So T-Roy Broussard has been our guest. T-Roy, I wish you the best of luck. I will see you at Cherokee anyway. And that's on that not too long. That's about a couple of months away. So we'll see you up there in Tennessee, in East Tennessee. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes to do this. All right, let's grab a break, and when we return, Charlie Hartley is up next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now, as I promised in the open, I mean, I had the most fun at an open that I didn't fish well in that I've ever had before. I mean, usually you got to catch fish to have a good time, but I had, as I said, two of the best partners you could possibly have, and T-Roy Broussard and the legend himself, Charlie Hartley. I mean, Charlie Hartley is without doubt the most passionate person when it comes to fishing that I've ever met in my life, whether it's tournament fishing or just fun fishing or any kind of fishing. It's Charlie Hartley, and I had a blast with Charlie, and he had a great tournament. I think finished 16th in the tournament. Great way to get the season started. Spent 10 years on the Elite Tour. He's fishing a couple of classics, and who knows, he'll be back on the Elite Tour before we know it as well, and he joins us now. Charlie, welcome in. How are you, man?
Hey, Tom, good to see you or talk to you again. I had fun also. And real congratulations to Brandon Lester. A nicer guy could not have won. He's a wonderful guy.
You've won one of these Opens, and you spent 10 years on the Elites. And stop me if I'm lying. Winning one of these things, 225 guys, local hammers, a bunch of Elites that were fishing this as well, guys trying to get back into the Elites from other series and so on. Winning one of these may be more difficult than winning even an Elite event.
Maybe, but of course a blue trophy would be even more prestigious. But yes, thank you for that. Fishing the Opens is very competitive, more than ever. More than ever, the people fishing them are actually trying to qualify for the Elites. Back in the day, the Opens were really kind of the working man's circuit for people that had a regular job. But it's amazing the amount of talent we have out there, from the college series and such makes it so competitive. And then you added in, of course, the local sticks because we have three divisions. And when you get in this Southern Division, the first one's always in Florida, and you know you're going to have a boatload of Florida guys in that tournament.
And you know, I don't know if I'd call you a local stick or not. You do live there in Kissimmee during the winter months, so you know that lake very, very well. You're on it quite a bit. Did it surprise you, 48 pounds, almost 49 pounds to win over 3 days? The way it went, there were not a lot of huge bags. Lester did it with three bags under 20 pounds for the win. Did it surprise you the way it fished at all?
Yes, it did not show its true colors. And with the warming trend we had, it was setting up for an explosion that did not take place. There was another tournament that week down at Okeechobee, and they did catch some good bags the last day the females moved up. But the majority of our fish did not move up. I was totally surprised when I came in that first day with, 13-something that I was in the hunt. So, yes, it surprised me. That fishery, I fished a bunch of opens on it just before this cold spell, and 20 pounds, was the norm.
Yeah. So, do you like that when it's a little bit of a tougher tournament? Because, you're right. You had 26 pounds. That's a good day on Kissimmee. You had that over 2 days and finished, 16th in the tournament. Do you prefer a little bit of a tough tournament like that? Because a lot of other guys are maybe struggling to figure it out, and you know that you have something. Because it felt like you could fall out of bed because of your knowledge of that lake, that you could just fall out of bed and have 13 or 14 pounds.
Yep. It certainly is helpful when it's not a slugfest. You're correct. Probably more local knowledge comes into play. But I'll tell you what, when I fish against the locals down here and they're biting, they bring in enormous bags of fish. I do winter down here, but there's something to be said to being a native Floridian. Florida fishing is an anomaly. As you know, there's no other state they go to and they say, wow, I just want to get Texas alive, or I want to get out of Kentucky alive. Mm-hmm. Florida is the only place the best fishermen in the world are very concerned they could blow their season.
Yeah, Charlie Hartley with us here. I talked about your passion for fishing. When I fished with you last week, you were over 900 days in a row. People are following it on social media and so on. It started during the COVID. I got to ask you, is the streak still alive? Have you fished? Because we had a cold snap that rolled in right after that tournament. Another cold snap came in. Have you fished every day since the Open to keep your streak going?
I've caught a fish every day. Yes, sir. I certainly have.
So you've actually caught a fish every day. So not only are you fishing, you're catching. Because I did a lot of fishing when I was with you. I didn't do a lot of catching over the week. I did a lot of fishing, more so than catching, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, you kept your streak alive when you were with me that day.
So. Yeah.
But, yeah, your streak's one day. So that's how it started with me, literally. When I come down here, I fish every single day, and then we got stranded down here for COVID. And next thing you know, the days were adding up, and I'm like, now I got to keep the streak going. So some days it's a true responsibility.
Yeah. Charlie Hartley with us here talking about his tournament at the St. Croix Bassmaster Southern Open on the Kissimmee chain. He'll be fishing all of the opens. And, you mentioned back in the day when you started, and look, you fished your first tournament with Bass 1993. I don't want to make you feel old or anything, but you're experienced. You're seasoned. I want to say seasoned.
You wouldn't believe how did you look up how many Bassmaster tournaments I fished? Because the number would be astonishing.
262
I would have guessed more.
Yeah, 262 tournaments with Bass over your illustrious career. But you mentioned, back then when guys had regular jobs. You have a regular job. You have a thriving business back in Columbus, Ohio. So just talk about that a little bit and how you balance that. You're not one of these guys that does nothing but fish and go to shows and represent your fine sponsors and that kind of stuff, because you've got a business to run.
Well, Tom, back in the day, that was the only way most of us could afford to fish a Bassmasters tournament. When I was in my 20s, I didn't have a boat or an income that would afford me the luxury to live my dream. So I, put the bootstraps on and got a job and made a living and got myself in a position where I could travel enough to fish tournaments. And I would not be able to fish tournaments without my business. Fishing for me is an outgo, not an income, but it's a passion. You know, I don't regret a minute or a penny I've spent fishing. I plan on spending more of both.
There you go. And I imagine you have to have a great staff to do that, too. I mean, the folks back at the shop, they got to be pretty stout to allow you to go all over the country chasing these little green bass.
I'm very, very fortunate, yes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Charlie Hartley with us here. Of course, the boys are fishing. The elites are fishing over at the St. John's River. I had talked to a number of elites, and they said that they had fished at Kissimmee. And they said, yeah, it was great to be in Florida and kind of get a little bit of a feel for what the Florida bass are doing right now. But other than that, probably not too much you could take from Kissimmee to the St. John's these days, right? Especially with the grass being all out of Lake George and that type of stuff. It's a totally different fishery, isn't it?
I couldn't agree more. The Kissimmee chain is more similar to Okeechobee, and St. John's is its own little animal up there. You know, you even have tidal influx and a whole different fishery, but it is still Florida fishing, and they still are affected by the weather more than northern fish. So that still is one thing that's relative to all Florida fish.
No doubt about it. Charlie Hartley with us here. All right, before we wrap up, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the classic coming up at Hartwell. You're part of the Hartwell history, the wonderful classic that you had there. You led the first 2 days, slipped it a little bit on the final day there, but the guys go back to Hartwell. Just talk about how different this Hartwell is. I know you've fished there, obviously, in numerous events since then, but how that lake has changed since back when you had that great run in the Classic there.
You know, Hartwell is very water level fluctuating, and that will be a big determining factor at the Classic is where the water level is. When we fished there, I believe it was some of the record lows. And that lake can fish drastically different that time of the year. You know, it could be 39-degree water temperature, or it could be 65-degree water temperature, depending on how spring goes. So you never know. It's going to be an exciting one to watch.
No doubt about it. Charlie Hartley has been our guest. And Charlie, I got to tell you, man, I admire you so much for what you do out there and how you battle. And I believe, if memory serves me right, you had fished 10 years on the elites. You didn't qualify in 2016. You fished the opens, and all you did was go out and win the James River Open that year. You know, that goes to your passion for the sport and your love of it. A lot of guys would have hung it up. They would have been very upset, but you were like, nah, that's okay. I'm going to go win another tournament. And that's what you did. So that's very inspirational.
Well, I'd love to be the comeback kid and requalify for the elites, and I'll certainly try again this year.
Yeah, it certainly can happen. I mean, that is for sure, Charlie Hartley. Charlie, I appreciate you, man. I will see you at Cherokee in the not-too-distant future if I don't see you before then, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Thank you, and I enjoyed having you in the boat, Tom.
All right, thank you, Charlie Hartley. And by the way, that was the second time that I fished with Charlie Hartley. I fished a PAA event with him back in, I think, 2008 when he was on the elites. I fished an event with him, and it was at Old Hickory Lake in Tennessee. And that was the first time that I had the opportunity to be in the water with him. And let me just say this about that. I mean, I love this guy, but I talk for a living. I mean, this is what I get paid to do. I work in a paragraph factory, and I talk for a living. That dude there goes nonstop. I mean, nonstop. I just sit in the back and just listen. I mean, because he's talking to me. He's talking to the fish. He's talking to himself. Sometimes he's answering himself. He's like interviewing himself. I mean, he is just an absolute blast to be with. And he somehow packs, you know, 10 hours of fishing into an eight-hour day. He's that good out there for sure. And it goes to show you just how good these guys are out there, not only on the elites, but on the opens as well. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Rapala Winner's Circle. Brandon Lester is next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio. And speaking of Phoenix Boats, how about a Phoenix Pro to get the season started off right? Brandon Lester, you know, obviously doing his damage now at the St. John's River in the Elite Series event there, the AFCO Elite at the St. John's River. But it was last week at the St. Croix Bassmaster Southern Open on the Kissimmee chain that Brandon Lester got the win, his first major win with Bass, $52,000. And, of course, the berth in the Bassmaster Classic. What a great way to start the year. And he joins us now in the Rapala Winner's Circle. Brandon, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good, Tom. How you doing today, buddy?
I am fantastic. I told people a couple of weeks ago that I felt like I was going to do a Brandon Lester Rapala Winner's Circle interview sometime this year. But I was thinking about an elite event, because I really think you're ready to break through on an elite event, and you get the year started with this Open. When you mentioned it after the tournament, and I've tried to tell everybody that'll listen the same thing, these things, this is a tougher win than beating 94 guys on the elites. No disrespect to the elites, but there were a ton of elites in this thing, and 225 guys and a lot of local hammers. This is impressive to win one of these deals.
Well, thank you, Tom. It feels good that it finally worked out, but you're exactly right. I mean, I know, you know, some people may look at it and say, well, it's a Bassmaster Open, but I'm telling you that you got elite guys fishing them now, because we're already down here. So some guys came down a week early to enjoy the weather, get the year kind of started. You got all the local hammers that jump into the Open. So, yeah, I mean, 225-boat field, and it's not a bunch of slouches. I mean, you're not fishing against Joe Blow. I mean, it's some really, really stiff competition in the Open. So it feels good to get the win finally, for sure.
Yeah, and you've been fishing these Opens for a while. I know I've been fishing them for 4 years, and I know you go back even further than that, fishing the Opens, and it is tremendous to get the victory. With it goes that spot in the 2023 Bassmaster Classic, which was announced that it will be in Knoxville, your home state of Tennessee, even though not your home waters necessarily. It's still about 3.5 hours away probably, but still it'll be in Knoxville. You know, $52,000 on the one hand, that's good money. On the other hand, knowing that you're in the Classic, how does that change your mindset going into the Elite Series event, or the Elite Series, knowing that you're already qualified for the 2023 Classic?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a gorilla jumped off my back. I'm telling you, because, I mean, we put so much into making that Classic. It's a huge deal to us. It's a huge deal to our families. It's a huge deal to our sponsors, because the Classic is a career-making achievement, and if you're not there, you can't win it. So, you know, going into this Elite Series season already having the Classic sewn up, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I might have came off the water yet on the third day of practice at the St. John's at about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, no, that is phenomenal to have that locked up. And do you gain anything confidence-wise or even knowledge-wise based on, you know, the Florida fishery? Obviously, you had really cold weather early in the week at practice at the St. John's. Then it warmed up. It's very much like the week of practice leading up to the Kissimmee event, to the Open. Do you gain anything? Do you think that it helped you at all going into the St. John's, coming off of getting a win like that?
You know, the Kissimmee chain and the St. John's are two totally different fisheries. I mean, the St. John's is tidal. Obviously, the Kissimmee chain is not. But I kind of do feel like I have a little bit of a feel on what stage the fish are in. Because, obviously, in Florida, you've got fish trying to spawn in November, December, just depending on the weather. But I do feel like I have a little bit of a handle on what's going on, you know, that as far as the spawn and that kind of thing.
Brandon Lester with us here talking about his win at Kissimmee. And I say Kissimmee, it's the Kissimmee chain. Most of the anglers will make the run to Kissimmee or they stay in Toho. Yes, Cypress is good. Hatchinaw is good. But you stayed in Cypress and did most of your damage throughout the 3 days in Cypress. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. And I think I was thinking the other day, I think this is the fifth Bassmaster Open. I've been fishing the Open since 2011. And I think this is the fifth open I've fished on the Kissimmee chain there. And this is the first time that I've ever even fished on Cypress. But when I went in there on the second day of practice and I saw all those beds, there were a lot of beds, and there were actually fish trying to pull up on beds in there when the water was 58, 59 degrees. Mm. So I knew that that was, you know, I knew that's where they wanted to be, and it was only going to get warmer, so I knew more fish were coming.
Talk about that a little bit with the beds, because, you know, a lot of the folks that I talked to down there said that there had been a spawn in December. Were those old beds, or are you thinking that those are new beds that were being made for this next wave of spawners?
Yeah, I think those were definitely new beds. I think that's something that I kind of picked up on that gave me a little bit of an edge. I have noticed that if a bed stays vacant down here in Florida, there's so much turbid and, you know, just silt and stuff in the water. If a bed stays vacant for 3 or 4 days, it'll get black. It'll get blacked over. I mean, you can still see it, but it won't be bright. If a bed looks bright white on that white sand bottom, it's probably had something going on it in the past 2 or 3 days. So that's a little nugget there for you that I don't tell just everybody. But
yeah, well, there you go.
I kind of picked up on that. Yeah.
Now, so weren't sight fishing as much? It wasn't like you were fishing females on the bed necessarily, right? I mean, you were just fishing it as an area, knowing that there were fish in the area.
Right. I was just going down through that. You know, it was pretty windy on the first 2 days.
Right.
So it was hard for me to actually see the fish, but I was just going down through there just pitching a soft plastic stick worm. I was actually throwing a 5-inch gambler, fat ace is what they call it. But it's just a 5-inch soft stick worm, like a Cinco or something like that, June bug color. And I was just pitching it at the light spots. And it was just littered with beds out there, and they were kind of in a line. So I was just letting the boat drift down through there. I'd pick my power poles up, go until I saw another few light spots. I'd put my poles down. I'd work them over real slow. And every once in a while, you'd pitch over there, and your line would just start easing off.
Yeah. Now, so you weren't necessarily, you were fishing it to the holes more than to the to the grass. Yeah, throwing it up in there in a hole. Now, you went a little bit light. I'm interested to know what your line choice was, because, you know, we go to Florida and we always, you know, load up on a heavy duty stuff. I know I never threw a worm that was less than a 7-inch worm. I never threw a hook that was less than a 5-aught. And I probably had, I'm sure I had more than 3/16 ounce weight on there that you did. But that's a pretty light approach in that kind of conditions. Were you concerned at all about losing a fish?
Well, I still use 17-pound line, which is, I mean, you're right, that is a little bit light, especially in Florida, because at any time you have the opportunity to catch a 10 or 12 pounder, you know. But I've kind of learned down here, when these fish are spawning, they spawn so much down here, and they're so smart, you know, because, I mean, people come to Florida to sight fish. That's what Florida's kind of known for.
Right.
Dropping down that little bit in that line size, staying right around 15 to 17, you'll get more bites, I believe, than you will with especially braid or even 20 or 25 pound. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to have been cracking their heads on 65-pound braid, but I felt like I was going to get more bites if I stayed right around that 17-pound fluorocarbon, right in that range.
If you're around, though, the hydrilla and so on, it seems to be that's less dangerous, if you will. Always seemed it seemed like those lily pads. Now you got to have the braid. You know, if you're in there back behind the reeds and in the lily pads and that stuff seems really abrasive. But you can get away with that. That hydrilla, that's kind of almost how you would attack areas of Gunnersville, if you will, sometimes fishing the grass. I don't think you're in danger with 17. That 17-pound fluoro actually will slice right through that grass, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the stuff I was fishing was not real thick, Tom. I mean, it was scattered hydrilla, had a little bit of scattered eelgrass mixed in, and it was growing. The water I was fishing was 2 to 3 feet deep, and it was growing maybe 6 to 10 inches off the bottom. So it's not like it was topped out, you know. I mean, when I'm flipping the mats and, like you say, the pads, I'm definitely going to have my 60-pound braid on. But, you know, when I'm in that, the water was real clean the first couple days, and I was in that more scattered grass. I was confident enough in that 17 pounds.
Just under 15 pounds on day one, just over 18 pounds on day two. 18-4, the big bag on the final day to get the win at 48-12. Did you have a number in mind when you went out? At what point in time are you thinking, you know what, this 18-pound bag is going to win this tournament? What were you thinking when you headed out strategy-wise?
It's funny. All day long, I was kind of doing the math in my head because I was in second place, but I had a 6.5-pound deficit behind Joyce Fuentes, the guy that was leading. And he caught a monster bag on the first day, and I knew it was very possible for him to catch another monster bag because I knew they were going to be biting good that third day because of the conditions. It was cloudy. It was rainy. I didn't feel real confident in the 18 pounds I had. I'll be honest. I was fishing my heart out trying to catch one. I was just praying, one more five-pounder, one more five-pounder. And, you know, thankfully it ended up that I did have enough. But, you know, you never know. I mean, the weights were really down compared to what I thought they would be. But, you know, with the weather we had, it was still a great tournament. It was still a fun tournament. That's what you get when you get a cold front in Florida. I mean, it can be everybody's got 20 and 30-pound bags down here. And then if you hit one of those cold fronts, you're looking at 10 and 12 pounds is a good bag.
Incredibly consistent throughout your career. That was your 22nd top 10 finish. I don't know if you knew that when you got off the water, but 22 times in the top 10 overall with Bass, both Opens and Elites. And the next thing is the Blue Trophy with the Elite win. I really honestly believe that is coming this year. And let's just spend a moment. You're 17th in the points last year, put you firmly, obviously, in the Classic at Hartwell. Just kind of peek ahead for me and tell me, how you stay focused on these two Florida tournaments before you get to Hartwell early next month.
That's just kind of what we do, Tom. You know, you take it one event at a time. Hartwell is definitely in the back of my mind, though. I mean, I've been watching the weather patterns over there a little bit, watching the water levels a little bit. Just trying to do my homework from home as much as I can before we get there. And this will be the third Classic that I've fished over there. And I love fishing Hartwell. It's honestly one of my favorite places to fish a tournament because it's such a broad, vast lake. You've got the Tougaloo Arm. You've got the Seneca Arm. Everybody can spread out. It's one of those places where it fishes big every time, and it can be worn on any part of the lake. So it's a really cool lake. Plus, you've got the spotted bass and the largemouth that always play there. So it'll be a really good event, I have no doubt.
Yeah, your third one. You know, there's only three guys in this one that have fished all four at Hartwell, and Gerald Swindle, Greg Hackney, John Cruz are the only guys that have fished all four at Hartwell. So you're in that group of guys that have fished three, and I imagine you swing through Fayetteville and have to repack a little bit. You're not going to use too much of the Florida stuff, I wouldn't think, at Hartwell, but we'll see how all of that shakes out. Brandon Lester's been with us here in the Rapala Winner's Circle off his win. And, Brandon, we wish you the best of luck this season. I will see you at the Classic for sure, and congrats again on the win.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate you having me on, man. It's been fun, and it definitely feels good to get that first win under my belt, for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine that it does. That's Brandon Lester. And, man, just knowing that you're in that next Classic is just phenomenal. And I think I'm talking to him again in a Rapala Winners Circle this season. I really do. I think he gets an Elite win this season to go along with that Open win to get things started. All right, we'll get a break. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. It's time to get registered for the Bassmaster Winter Giveaway, where one winner per week through February 18th will win a $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card. Just go to Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes to enter now. And while you are there, check out this dream sweepstakes. Enter to fish with legendary father-son team Roland and Scott Martin. Along with that, you'll receive a $2,500 gift card from AFCO. The trip package also includes round-trip airfare for the winner to a location to be named later, 3 days and two nights hotel accommodations, and a rental car for the duration of the trip, plus $500 spending money. You can find all your favorite Bassmaster merchandise at Bassmaster.shop. Hats, shirts, hoodies, and more, all from your favorite outdoor brands in great Bassmaster styles. Plus, Bassmaster.shop has official Bass Nation merchandise. Shop for yourself or get gifts for your friends and family. Look for great deals every week at Bassmaster.shop, the only place to buy official Bassmaster and Bassmaster Classic gear. And if you ever wish that you could buy gear to support your favorite elite angler, well, check out ProFishing.shop for select angler hats, hoodies, and tees, including championship gear from their wins. Check back often as the roster of anglers is growing every week, but now you can rock the logo of your favorite pro. Plus, check out our exclusive lifestyle line, hashtag fish on, to proclaim your love of fishing. And take a look at the legendary Lake Series as well. You can even buy Bassmaster radio gear and check out the new line of coffee mugs. That's profishing.shop. And if you're like me, you never stop learning the best bass fishing techniques and tricks. And now we have a place for you to find it all in one place with Bass University's BassU.TV/radio. You'll find over 900 training courses from the most talented anglers on the planet, including Mike Iaconelli, Greg Hackney, Jason Christie, John Cox, Hank Cherry, and more. If you want to become a better bass angler, visit BassU.TV/radio and sign up. That's BassU.TV/radio and begin learning today. The Bass University. Never stop learning. BassU.TV/radio. Coming up next on the schedule is the Site One Bassmaster Elite at the Harris Chain. That's next week. And, of course, the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic presented by Hook. That's coming up at Lake Hartwell, March 4th through the 6th. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.